Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
My name is Bill.
So we're on episode 66.
Who's number 66, baby?
Mario Lemieux.
Mario Lemieux.
Yes.
Center, Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, one of the greats.
I think he's the best player I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He had that size and reach, and he could just outdo everybody.
Yeah.
People look stupid.
Yeah, his reach was unbelievable.
Yeah. Better than Gretzky.
Yeah.
I know that's a hot take right there.
That but, is.
Yeah.
It's an argument as old as time.
Yeah. And I'm a Detroit Red Wing fan, yeah, so I should be saying Gordie Howe.
Oh, totally.
Mario Lemieux.
Yeah. Lemieux's the man.
Yeah.
This is for you, Mario.
Yeah, I hope you listen,
Super Mario.
Better be listening, Mario.
Yeah, that's right. Just before we jump into the regular stuff here, I just wanted to read a couple reviews we've received.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, let's start it off. There's a little thing about iTunes reviews. We're in Canada, so we only see the Canadian reviews, which was mine. I'm the only Canadian who's left a review for us. I just became aware of this application called Commentcast, so I can check reviews from all around the world. So we have two reviews from the U.S., and the first one was left actually on my birthday last year, September 13, 2016.
Were your ears burning?
I think they were. Yeah. So this is from user Gumbercules. It's like Hercules, but Gumbercules 9000.
Hello, Gumbercules.
Hello. It says, Adrian and Bill are full of awesome information when it comes to film. Funny and very informative show about movies and entertainment. Love it. So that's our first review.
Thank you.
That's really cool. We appreciate it. And the next one comes from user Whatever Cove, a.k.a. Will Lindis. That's right. He left this a couple weeks ago. Will says, I don't listen to a ton of film podcasts, and part of that is because, well, I'm a film snob. I fully admit that. I watch a ton of films each year, and when looking for film critiques, I listen for people with similar sensibilities as my own. Adrian and Bill meet that criteria. The show is always entertaining, and the opinions are always well articulated. Even when I disagree with their takes on films, I can always appreciate the thought process that goes into those opinions. This show is the goods. So thanks very much, Will.
Thanks, Will. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's cool. We always love to hear any feedback, good or bad. Throw it our way.
Just not the bad. I don't want to hear it.
You don't want to hear it?
I don't want to hear it.
No. I want to hear it.
Okay, no, bring it. I don't get hurt that easily.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I really don't.
We're both pretty thick-skinned.
Yeah, I don't take this stuff very seriously. I really don't. As you might have seen by the podcast.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, otherwise, besides, checking for reviews of our show, haven't been up to a lot lately. I have a Seattle trip coming up pretty soon. I'm going to be seeing Radiohead, and I'm pretty excited.
So jealous.
Yeah, I've never seen them live before, so.
They've been playing rare cuts, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm just like, fuck.
Oh, sweet.
They're going to play a song I haven't seen live, and I'm going to be super angry.
Yeah.
Like that one time Pearl Jam played that song he wanted to play in the concert, man. I saw.
Yeah, that hurt me.
Adrian texts me, he's like, if they play Do the Evolution, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
On cue, 2 minutes later, yeah. They fucking played it.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, I think you and Sarah told me about that. I was just like, oh, no.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's coming up pretty soon. And, of course, big news, drum roll, we booked our flights for Fantastic Fest.
Seems like this trip's actually going to happen.
I think it is.
I bought a pass and I bought a plane ticket. I don't think I can back out now.
No, you definitely can't.
I think I'm pretty deep in the money already.
Oh yeah,
this isn't cheap.
It isn't. No.
Yeah, we're paying American dollars and Canadian funds. We're losing a lot of money off that. So
it hurts.
But
man.
You know what? Talking to Adrian throughout the week, Adrian's like, I'm flying first class.
Yeah, man.
That's the kind of pimp he is.
That's right.
And I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I'm ever going to do this again because it's so expensive. And you know what? Fuck it. I'm going first class too.
Nice.
Yeah. Treat yourself.
Yeah, man. Treat yourself.
Yeah. Like you got to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm flying first class. Adrian showed me this place we're going to be hanging out from the Delta Lounge or whatever.
Yeah. Delta Sky Club.
Looks really nice.
Yeah, man.
And we're going to be like not that cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of nerds in there, too, so we'll blend in.
I'll be watching movies.
Right on.
Yeah, I can't wait, man.
Yeah, dude.
September now.
Yeah, we need September to come right now.
I haven't quite figured out how I'm going to pay for the rest of this, whatever, I'll figure it out.
That's right. Yeah, what else have you been up to?
Big thing in my life, I finished Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it took me forever, but I finally finished it. It's probably the top five video game I've ever played.
Wow.
It's really good.
Nice.
Can't wait for you to play it.
Nice.
How's Zelda going?
It's going well. I've kind of slowed down a little bit. I think I was just getting burnt out with playing a lot, and I was doing a lot of hunting and gathering and just collecting supplies, and got a little burnt out with that grind, but I'm back on it and slowly working my way through. Nice. It's still a blast. I love it.
Cool. Manchester United doing okay.
Yeah.
England played today.
Well, that's right.
Footy, 1-2-0. Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah.
Came off the bench, scored.
Yeah.
Red Wings are winning games when they don't really matter.
Oh, no.
It's really pissing me off.
Yeah.
Red Sox, let's go.
Right on.
And I heard a lot of really cool comments about the last show, man.
Oh, cool.
Congratulations to you, sir, with your freaking wizardry of production.
Yeah.
Lots of people said the show sounded really good last episode because Adrian added a bunch of cool stuff to it.
Yeah, I was having a blast.
So congratulations to you, sir.
Cool.
Yeah, the Jason Mewes part was very very much loved by the people I was talking to.
Nice. So
that was pretty cool.
Right on, dude. Happy to add to any kind of production value to this show.
Yeah, it was good.
That's cool.
Is that it for you?
That's it for me. Yeah, you ready?
Yeah, let's get this going.
All right, let's get into it. Let's start off with the rant. This is where we rant about anything movie related. Why don't you start things off for us?
The new Justice League trailer dropped. Instant hatred.
Oh, yeah.
Are you guys all happy now?
Pre-written hatred.
Did you guys not already call this 6 months ago? Like, you guys already knew you were going to hate it. I thought it looked really generic. I thought it looked like a shitty Michael Bay movie. Yeah. There's stuff flying everywhere, blowing up.
You can't tell what's happening.
No, like Batman and Aquaman are going to have a bromance sometime during the movie.
Oh, yeah.
You can already feel that.
Yeah.
I just thought it looked kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
Still going to see the film.
Oh, yeah. I'll be there opening night.
Why don't you guys just shut up and watch the damn movie? Do you guys actually like movies?
I'm starting to think you don't. Yeah.
It's becoming really apparent to me that people just have to bitch about everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's really what it boils down to. I even posted on Twitter because I wasn't on Twitter at the time it dropped, but I was reading all the comments for like an hour, and I was like, man, I posted something like, are you guys okay? Like, did the Justice League trailer touch you in your naughty parts, or what? Dude, what happened?
It's so true.
Yeah.
I get that feeling. It sucks.
Yeah.
Watch the damn film.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
Yeah. I'm kind of down the middle on the trailer. I didn't really get super stoked, but I'll see it.
I remember when the Batman versus Superman trailer came out, and I was super like psyched about it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, this looks really cool. Mm-hmm. Then the movie wasn't, but the director's cut was good.
Yeah.
This one didn't look terribly good to me. So
okay.
I'm thinking, you know, maybe it'll be good. Wonder Woman looks terrible to me too. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, the trailer does nothing for me.
Okay.
I want it to be really good. But yeah, if they screw up Wonder Woman,
yeah,
who's going to want to see Justice League?
That's true.
Truly.
Yeah, they're putting all their eggs in one basket, it feels like.
Yeah. Marvel's got a real fuck up later on. I'm going to be talking about in lightning round.
Okay.
Wait around for that.
Okay.
Rant out.
Good rant, man. My rant is about fan theories. I hate fan theories. I hate people. So at South by Southwest, which just happened, what, last week?
Yeah.
Life premiered at South by, and there was a lot of fan theories going around about this movie. People thought that it was a Venom prequel, even before anybody watched the movie. I think because there was a shot that was in the trailer that was used in a previous Spider-Man movie. And then people wrote articles about it, and I got caught up in it. I was like, oh, great, it's a Venom prequel. Thanks for telling me, internet. And turns out it's not.
No.
People were just chasing clicks. And I hate shit like that.
Dude, I had no idea about this, but that is some weak sauce right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did they not see the trailer?
I guess not. But okay, yeah, it's dumb. But this happens for all the, you know, a lot of big movies. People will post their fan theories. Who is so and so really playing? And it's already started. It starts for every Star Wars movie as soon as it's announced. And I just hate that shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure somebody wrote an article about Finn being Rey's father.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm sure it's that far ahead by now.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my rant.
Cool.
F*** your fan theories, dude.
Totally. I agree.
You will not hear us talking fan theories or posting bullshit articles to chase clicks.
No, I'm good on that. Is that it, man?
That's it.
Right on.
All right, so now that we have some rant action out of the way, let's talk about some movies.
What are we going to do first, sir?
Let's talk about A Tale as Old as Time.
By the way, before you even say this,
okay, yeah.
For all the people that are like Bill and Adrian always are like always on the same wavelength,
yeah.
This is your episode.
Okay.
Because I am not.
Oh, really? Oh, all right.
Let's go.
Buckle up.
Yeah.
All right. So I invite you to be my guest, Bill. I had to get one last one in there.
People were like really also said about you saying that last episode. They were like, tell him to shut up. And it's like, no. Why would I tell him to shut up? It's funny.
Say what again? Let's talk about Beauty and the Beast.
You'll join me for dinner. That's not a request.
Gently, master. The girl lost her father and her freedom in one day.
Yes, the poor thing is probably in there scared to death.
Exactly.
Just a minute.
You see, there she is. Now, remember, be gentle.
Kind.
Charming.
Sweet.
And when she opens the door, give her a dashing debonair smile. Come, come, show me the smile. Oh, my dear.
No.
I think everybody listening will already know what this is about, but what's this movie all about?
Directed by Bill Condon, an adaptation of the fairy tale about a monstrous-looking prince and a young woman who fall in love. Thank you, IMDb,
yeah.
For one of your worst ever. Emma Watson, Dan Stevens, Luke Evans, Josh Gad, and the really amazing Kevin Kline.
Yeah.
Love Kevin Kline.
He classes up the joint.
He should be in every movie.
Yeah.
He's great.
Oh, yeah.
You start.
I'll start. Okay, I'll start. I really love this movie. I have no shame in saying that. It is very safe, but it is a very fun movie to watch. And as I was thinking about this, I was like, am I having these feelings because this is the first competent live-action remake of a Disney film?
Hot take.
It really is. I've seen all the other ones. Like, they're okay at best, but I really enjoyed this one. Watson looks the part, and Stevens, he's a very good actor, and the supporting cast, they're so classy, man, like Ewan McGregor. I didn't know that was him the whole time till the credits rolled. The supporting cast, they really delivered the goods. They did a lot of the heavy lifting for the singing portion of the movie, and yeah, I really enjoyed it. I had a really fun time, and yes, I did cry at a certain moment in the movie.
Wow.
I was very moved and can't wait to see this again. So those are my initial thoughts of Beauty and the Beast.
So are you a fan of the original animated movie?
I am.
Okay, I see I'm not.
Okay.
I always kind of felt it was just kind of a nothing story with a really shitty villain.
Oh, yeah.
Who goes so far over the top and, like, becomes, like, the worst cartoon villain. Literally a cartoon villain of all time. Gaston is, I think he's terrible.
He's just an asshole.
I know. He's such an asshole to the point of being over what he should be. And it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Except for, I think Luke Evans is really good in the performance.
Yeah. Oh, he's awesome.
He's good.
Yeah.
I still hate Gaston. But I like Luke Evans. Emma Watson's fine.
Yeah.
Her singing is okay.
Yeah, it's...
And as you said, looks the part.
Yeah.
Dan Stevens, sure, I couldn't tell it was him.
From the opening, you knew it was him in the opening and at the very end.
Yeah, there's like no performance there. It's all just a bunch of fur.
Yeah.
Okay. This feels useless.
Does it? Yeah.
It's like Did the original have subtitles and I just fucking didn't know about it? Like, other than to make $1 billion, why is this here?
Yeah. It's to make $1 billion.
I know, but
that's the only reason.
I know show me the money, but at the same time, is the animated film now redundant? Because it's the same bloody film with a couple new songs.
It's really what it boils down to is that this is a business and Disney has caught on to these live action adaptation, remake, reboot, whatever you call it. And they're making tons of money off of them. And as long as people keep seeing them, they'll keep making them. So it'll be, I bet you, what was that really shitty racist one? That's the only one they won't redo.
Song of the South?
Song of the South. I think that's the only one they'll never touch.
Side note, I read an article on the internet about them remastering that film.
Really?
Yeah, they just redid it in 4K.
What?
And they're never going to release it. Wow. And I'm like, then why did you remaster it in 4K?
That's weird.
That's so weird. Anyways, back to Beauty and the Beast.
Back to this.
Back to Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. What I wanted to mention is that I think there's a lot of earnestness in this film, and I think that everybody's put a lot of care, a lot of joy into this one. And before anybody thinks that I only enjoyed this because I only enjoyed the original, well, I love Jungle Book, hated Jungle Book from last year. I enjoyed Cinderella, the animated movie, and thought the live action was so-so.
See, I really liked the live action Cinderella.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe what this film needed. Kenneth Branagh.
Okay, yeah.
I think Condon shoots it really safe.
Oh, yeah. He does shoot it like the almost shot-for-shot remake.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that, though. It looked good. It was fine to me.
I know, but once again, like, why are we watching this?
Yeah. It's just for the next generation. It's like, how many years later, 26 years later... And again, it's just a business. That's all it boils down to.
Because they paid a couple $1 billion for Star Wars. They got to pay for it somehow. Yeah. Not like Star Wars isn't making billions of dollars, but it's, you know.
Yeah, it's something we need to get used to. Or like, I think the thing when it comes to remakes, I think a lot of people think that the studio is saying, we're going to do it better. No, the studio is just saying, we're just going to make some more money. That's all it boils down to. That's why people get upset when it's like, oh, you can't touch The Matrix. Oh, my childhood's over. No, the studio sees a possible business opportunity. That's all it boils down to.
You should have ranted about that. I took my almost 11-year-old cousin to this film.
Okay.
And it's like her favorite film of all time. Like,
okay.
She just freaking loves it. So they got that audience. Everybody I've talked to loves it. I'm just me.
Mm-hmm.
This is like when Adrian watches Big Hero 6. I honestly don't get why he didn't like it. I find that movie really to be great. Beauty and the Beast is that movie for me.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it's so nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's generic. I don't find the spark in it everybody else seems to.
Yeah.
You know, be my guest. I don't care.
Yeah, I love the musical numbers, man. Like, while I was watching Be Our Guest unfold, it was so trippy. Like, the visuals were so wacky. And I was like, imagine if I were high right now. This would be just a crazy experience.
It's a Disney movie, sir.
It is.
I know, but...
But, yeah, they really go for something weird in that one. And, you know, I think getting back to the supporting cast, I think it's all about the supporting cast in this one. Like, I've never been a big fan of Belle and the Beast, that whole storyline. Like, it's problematic right off the get-go. And the conclusion of that relationship is problematic. Like, I'm not going to hide from that. But I just really enjoyed the performances. Like, Stanley Tucci, Emma Thompson, Ewan McGregor, just all of them. And Luke Evans just, like, hitting home runs with every line.
As I said, I really hate Gaston, but he's really good. I like how you totally glossed over the fact that she wants to fuck an animal. But fine. That's fine. That's fine.
It's cool, man. That's all good.
Okay.
Some people are into weird shit.
Okay.
And Josh Gad, he's really winning me over since Frozen, and now his performance as LeFou in Beauty and the Beast. I think he's kind of channeling Jack Black from School of Rock in this one a little bit. But he just goes for it, and you can tell he's having a blast, and I liked his performance quite a bit. So
around him, What do you think about this controversy that's making it not being able to be opened in certain countries?
Yeah.
Do you want to know how much I knew about this controversy? I watched the film and didn't know what it was.
Yeah, exactly. There's no controversy here.
So like, I asked a buddy of mine's like, so what was the big controversy? Did Gaston kiss somebody?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I honestly don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I Googled it and I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that.
Okay.
What is your... It's stupid.
Yeah. And the quote-unquote controversy is that LeFou, he's a little bit flamboyant, but that's how the character was in the original animated film. And at the very end, he kind of...
Should we say spoiler?
I guess so. Minor spoiler, if you skip ahead 30 seconds if you want. While they're dancing, he partners up with a male who was actually just dressed up in drag by the wardrobe, and he was very happy when he was wearing a dress and had makeup on. But they only held hands and started to dance for like half a second or maybe a second, and if you blink, you missed it.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Yeah.
That's pathetic. Yeah. Seriously. It's 2017.
Yeah. And I don't think Disney deserves any credit in terms of advancing LGBTQ sort of, how do I say this? Acceptance,
yeah.
I guess.
The one thing I am happy about Disney is they refuse to cut it.
That's true.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, don't cut it.
Yeah.
It's not even, it's nothing.
Yeah. But we still have a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of saddens me that there's multiple countries that are just that freaky about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You all need to grow up a bit.
It's silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed this one. I'll probably see it when I go to Seattle. It's playing at Cinerama.
I'll
be seeing it in laser projection.
I know. Like, I'd go see it again at the Cinerama Dome.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck. It's a great theater. But
yeah,
if I was to rate this, like 2.5 out of 5.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I don't hate it.
Yeah.
It's just not for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I'd probably be around 4 out of 5.
That's cool.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
I thought you might go higher on that.
Yeah.
But,
well, it loses points because it's not original at all. It's really safe, like super, super safe. And that's okay. Don't have to change it too much.
A friend of mine at work was like, I was just waiting for Mr. Burns to come out and go, see my vest made of real gorilla chest.
Okay.
And I'm just like, yeah, that's the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's fine. And if you're listening to this, you've probably seen it already.
Yeah. That movie's making Star Wars bank, man.
It is.
It's going past a billion.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It is crazy. When I went to see Power Rangers on Thursday night, I saw dozens and dozens of kids running to the concession stand, running to the theater. I was like, these little fuckers better not be seeing Power Rangers. No, they weren't. They were seeing Beauty and the Beast, which was playing next door, and Power Rangers was maybe 2/3 full.
Beauty and the Beast in its second week did over $80 million.
That's unreal.
Power Rangers in its first week did 40.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I think Life did 12.
Yeah. That one tanked big time. Oh, man. That's bad.
More on that later.
Yeah.
More on Power Rangers in a second.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we can probably move on, right?
There's man.
Not much else to say.
Yeah, go see it for yourself. Don't listen to me.
Yeah. Go see it, damn it. Cool. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about the next movie, Power Rangers.
My house is on the other side of the mountain. I hike these trails sometimes, clear my head, and I stare down at Angel Grove and wonder how such a small crap town could cause me such misery. That funny to you?
I feel the same way.
Yeah, Jason Scott, star quarterback, crashes and burns, destroys his career and destroys our season. Go Tigers!
Yeah, now I walk around town and everyone's looking at me like I ran over their dog.
So why don't you leave? You know, just go. I could leave here, you know.
Where?
Got it, anywhere.
So let's go. What?
You'd never do it.
Try me.
Oh, you and me? You got a car?
I have a van.
Oh, that's creepy.
It's not that kind of van.
Every van is that kind of van.
Okay, so what does IMDb have to say about this one?
Directed by Dan Israelite, a group of high school kids who are infused with unique superpowers harness their abilities in order to save the world.
Yeah.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yes. Did you watch the show when you were a kid?
No.
Okay.
I think I was a little bit too old for that.
Okay.
What's it like, mid-90s?
I think, yeah, mid to early 90s.
Yeah.
I was all about it, dude.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Not me. I honestly don't think I've seen an episode.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I got one look at the Pink Ranger, Kimberly, and I was hooked.
So, seeing how you've seen the television show,
yeah,
I don't know why I'm asking this, but yeah. Does it follow the television show?
A little bit. The thing is, with the TV show, they're already established, as far as I know, at least from when I started watching it, they were just always the Power Rangers. This one rewinds the clock a little bit and tells the origin story of the Power Rangers.
Wasn't Power Rangers a Japanese show that they took the footage from and then added stuff to it?
Yeah. Yeah, all the action stuff.
It's really cheesy.
Yeah, they used the Japanese footage and added the English stuff and the North American, American kids. And
which is cool because they stole the blueprint from Josh Trank on Chronicle for this fucking film for the first half.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, ooh. You know what? This isn't a bad film. Also, just not for me.
Oh, really?
There was kids in the audience that, when I saw it, that absolutely loved this film.
Yeah.
Other than the Rita Repulsa scenes, which were surprisingly, shockingly violent.
Those are crazy.
And what? This is a kid's film.
She's straight up murdering people.
I know. So, bunch of no-namers, except for one guy. Dacra Montgomery? Did I say that right?
I don't know. So.
Naomi Scott. RJ Seiler. The great RJ Seiler.
Yeah, man.
Earl the Dying Girl.
Yeah. He shows up.
He plays Earl.
Yeah.
The underappreciated Earl.
Oh, absolutely.
He's the heart of that film.
He really is.
If you watch that film, Earl is the heart. Ludi Lin and Becky G. No last name, Becky? Come on.
From what I've heard, she's a YouTube star, so no, they don't have last names on YouTube.
They are the Power Rangers.
They are.
And Elizabeth Banks and Bryan Cranston's voice. Elizabeth Banks having a lot of fun in this film.
Oh, yeah.
She's the best part of the film.
She's hamming it up, dude.
I think she's great. yeah, the town rebels who all have a backstory of struggle get together and form this fighting machine thing.
Yeah.
When they dig up something in the ground and it makes them powerful. Hey, this totally isn't Chronicle, I swear.
Yeah, but it is.
But it is.
It's Chronicle and the Breakfast Club because they all meet at detention.
I know.
And somebody, Dave Gonzalez, posted a tweet about how they show the date for the Breakfast Club detention, and it matched up with the release date of this movie.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's they're obviously aping the Breakfast Club and Chronicle. And
what, Judd Nelson wasn't around? They couldn't use him as the teacher and the detention?
That would have been cool.
He's probably working for food now, so.
That's right.
Oh, that was mean. I apologize. no, I don't. Jeff Nelson. It's just a bunch of predictable shit. If you don't know where this film is going, you're not paying attention. The only character I really cared about was RJ Seiler's character, Billy, who was the nerd.
Yeah.
Who was actually kind of written well. Actually kind of had a backstory. He was bullied and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The other guys were like, oh, I don't want to play football anymore. Shut up.
That stuff was not believable because star quarterbacks do not ever get in trouble in America.
No.
There's no consequences for them.
No.
Ever. But that, on that note, the movie opens with a sequence, a really cool sequence with we'll call him the Red Ranger, because I don't know his name, other than the Red Ranger. He's driving in his red truck, and he's escaping the police. And there's this really cool 360-degree camera shot going on inside the truck. I was like, that grabbed me right off the bat. I was like,
I'll give you that.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
Yeah, I think they really cared about the shot composition in this movie, and yeah, it really shows. Like,
yep. yeah, they get. Where was that the rest of the film?
Yeah, it wasn't that consistent, but I thought the rest of it was good enough that I got the sense of scale and the action was competently shot. So, and I thought the cast worked really well together. I love their chemistry. And
I thought they were all terrible and had no chemistry at all. So,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, I bought it.
I knew that they were all going to have some sort of thing they were going to have to overcome to become this fighting unit. Yeah. And it was like, okay, yeah, just waiting for it.
It's not a mystery, dude. No, it's not presented like that.
I know, but it's just like, write something good then.
Yeah, it was good. I thought the story was really good.
Yeah, it bored me to tears.
No, man, I was all about it. Like, I loved the story. Thought the kids worked really well off each other. The only one I didn't really care for was the Yellow Ranger, who did the cliche, like, I'm not going to be a part of the team. And she did that for like 90 minutes.
I know. I was going to say like 2.5 acts.
Yeah. That was really unnecessary.
And then her hormones took over.
That's right.
And I was like, fuck.
That's all right. So, I really enjoyed them. I thought the action was pretty cool. And I thought there was good momentum in this movie. I thought the pacing was just right. And I was like, this is an origin story I can vibe with. And movies like this don't always get the origin story right. And I'm looking at you, Marvel, with your cookie cutter Iron Man bullshit.
Did you enjoy the Michael Bay light fight scene at the end?
Oh, yeah. It's totally all about the Michael Bay Transformers.
I know. I was just like, wow. Those are Transformers, aren't they?
Yeah. There's a flying Transformer. There's a dinosaur Transformer.
I'm just like, me, Grimlock.
Oh, totally.
I know. I was like, what? Yeah. They should get sued for that.
Yeah, they definitely stole from a lot of stuff. And I was okay with it. It's not the most original movie, but I just really enjoyed the whole thing overall. I was really actually surprised by how much I enjoyed that movie, because I thought, you know, I enjoyed the show when I was a kid. I was like, I don't know if it'll age well. And I thought they did a good enough update for this generation to get some more kids into this franchise. And kids will probably go buy toys, and it'll be, you know, the box office isn't the only number when it comes to a movie like this. Like, kids are going to go buy toys and watch your shows, and that'll just generate more revenue for that company. So
Adrian's a big kid at heart.
Oh,
he loves his Power Rangers.
All about it, man.
If you were to rate this, what would you rate this?
4.5 out of 5.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I've got, without hesitation.
Dude, there's been nothing that's open this year. That kind of rating sounds like that's going to be on your mid-year list. What the hell?
Yeah, I love this movie.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, I enjoyed the pacing. The story was good. I liked the kids. RJ Seiler, he brought it. And Bryan Cranston has some voiceover work, which is pretty cool. And
I heard he was in the original TV series.
He was,
as an uncredited guy.
Yeah, it's a villain. I've YouTubed that before. It's hilarious.
Nice.
And Bill Hader has some voiceover work in this one. I really wish I knew that going in. Like, I don't know why they don't advertise that more.
Yeah.
Because I think that would pull in more people. But I want more. Give me more Power Rangers.
Oh, it made decent money, I guess. So you probably will get another one.
Yeah.
It's like a 2 out of 5 for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. You just don't enjoy fun.
Oh, which is funny because I gave Chronicle 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
So,
Chronicle
I
rules.
Do enjoy fun, but it's the original.
Oh, man. So from now on, every movie has to be original.
Hell yes,
okay,
man.
I'm calling you out next time you enjoy something that's been redone to death.
Cool.
All right, speaking of redone to death, let's talk about the next movie. This one's called Life.
The mission's primary goal has been achieved. We're looking at a large single cell, biological. I'd hate to jump the gun, but I think it's time. We're looking at the first proof of life beyond Earth.
You finally a daddy.
It's gonna be a big custody battle over this one.
That's beautiful.
Okay, so what does IMDb have to say about this one?
Directed by Daniel Espinosa, a team of scientists aboard the International Space Station. Is that what they call it in the movie?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Discover a rapidly evolving life force that caused extinction on Mars, which I don't think they actually say in the movie.
No, they never mentioned that.
Thank you, IMDb, for inventing shit. And now threatens the crew and all of Earth.
Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Rebecca Ferguson.
Hey.
Ryan Reynolds.
Whoa.
That's a really good-looking cast.
Oh, yeah.
And they all look like they haven't showered in 5 months.
That's right.
It's good stuff. I'm 0 for 3 this episode, man.
0 for 3?
0 for 3.
Okay.
This movie sucks.
It's one I enjoyed, but I can't defend this movie at all.
You know, speaking of another film that's not even a lick close to being original,
yeah.
They steal everything in this film.
Yeah.
But you know what? The alien kicks ass.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I liked about this movie.
Yeah.
And the alien's really good.
Yeah.
The way they mature it from this, like, single cell organism thing to this giant killing machine is wickedly good.
Yeah.
It's worth seeing the film just for the alien.
Oh, yeah.
It's tension.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
And it's really smart and cool.
Yeah.
Just the rest of the movie isn't.
Yeah. It's very paint by numbers, sort of 80s, 90s space thriller horror kind of thing. I enjoyed this one enough to give it like a 3 out of 5, but at the same time, you could see the fingerprints all over this movie. I just had fun watching the alien move room to room and have that little battle of wits and the survival bits and seeing some interesting kills. There were some cool death scenes in this movie that I appreciated.
Yeah. So, as I said, the alien's really cool. As soon as this film started, I'm like, you're going to die. You're going to die.
Yeah.
You're going to die. And I don't know who's going to be at the end, but it's going to be one of the good looking guys. Come on.
Yeah. It's so funny. Like, yeah, it's, you can, yeah, basically call the whole movie from start to finish right from the get go. I think you mentioned this a little bit earlier. I think the score really pushes the action. I enjoyed the score as scary shit's happening and they nudge you in the right direction and get the blood pumping a bit. But
you know what, man? Was I supposed to be cheering for the alien?
I think so.
Okay.
I was.
I know. I'm like, you go. You're wicked. I love you. Yeah. I want a movie about you.
Yeah.
You're like the most kick-ass alien I've seen in a while in these films.
Yeah.
Like, you might be better than the xenomorphs. Like, you're fast as hell.
Yeah.
You're agile. You
can adapt.
Yeah, you're in freaking zero G and you're floating along at like 50 miles an hour. You're the badass.
Yeah.
I love you.
He was a badass. What did they call him? Calvin?
Calvin.
Yeah. What a name.
What a whitey name, eh?
That's so like, funny.
Calvin.
Some elementary kids named him.
Yeah. How awkward was that scene, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Some little kid asking them questions and telling them the name of the alien. And
dude, there needs to be like a scene in this film where like Jamie Kennedy reads out the Scream horror movie rules about alien movies.
Yeah.
I'm just like, have you guys not seen these films?
Yeah.
Don't
open the airlock.
I know. I'm just like,
do not open it.
Yeah. It's all about stuff like that. It drives me nuts.
Oh, yeah.
It should be smarter.
We're running low on oxygen.
Yeah.
We're running out of fuel. What else?
Yeah.
We have to go outside to fix something.
Why aren't our comms working?
Yeah. Oh, no. Comms are down.
Even though 10 minutes earlier they did work and there's no explanation why they didn't work now.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. It has every cliche. I was okay with it, though. Like, I was entertained. I think a big part of it, though, is Rebecca Ferguson. I'm a big fan of her. She makes me believe in a god.
Yeah, she is. She is a pretty lady.
Yeah, she's very stunning in this movie. And
she's also a good actress. She's really good in Mission Impossible.
Yeah, that's true.
She kicks a lot of ass in Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a complete waste of time.
waste of time.
No, seriously, watch it on Netflix and watch it just for that alien. You'll enjoy the hell out of the alien.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I told Sarah the same. I went home and she's like, well, should I have seen it? And I was like, well, you didn't miss much. You'll see it on Netflix one day and you might enjoy it. So Yeah, it's, this one's nothing home to go home and write about, that's for sure.
I'm going to go home with another 2 on this one.
Yeah.
2 out of 5.
Yeah, it's a 3 out of 5 for me. Yeah. I enjoyed it enough. I thought it had some good pacing to it. I was never bored. And even though you could see the next scene coming around the corner, there was something about the execution that I still enjoyed. And I enjoyed the ending. I like the ending quite a bit.
That's why I didn't get a 1.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yes. I
didn't like this one.
No?
No.
Okay.
It's so crap. But the alien's cool.
And alien
the
is awesome.
The ending is a little, yeah, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
The way they edited the film, the ending makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah. The edit of that is not the best.
No. But, yeah. Fooled me. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You fucked up, but you fooled me. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. So that's life.
0 for 3, baby.
Yeah. You don't need to rush out and see this. If you're slightly interested, maybe wait for Cheap Night or Matinee if they're cheaper. But you can wait for Netflix on this one.
Yeah, totally. It'll be there in 6 months.
It will be. Maybe less. Because, yeah, it's tanking pretty hard.
Yeah, for the amount of people in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think everybody looked at it and went, that's Alien.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And each character is a cliche, too. Anyway, we talk way too much about life.
Yeah.
We talk way too much about that movie. Done. Cool. Okay, well, let's move on to the next part of our show, the Movie Club. This is where Bill picks a movie for us to watch. We watch it, and we come back here and talk about it. And we do tend to get into spoiler territory, especially for older films. This one qualifies as an older film.
1964.
That's right. Yeah. Amidst the Cold War.
Yeah. This film kind of has eerie present day kind of vibe to it.
It really does.
You know what I mean?
No, it totally does.
So yeah, the film is Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb by the GOAT. Stanley Kubrick.
Oh, yeah.
How the hell Adrian had to see this film? I don't quite know, but
it's a mystery.
He gave me the hint, and I took that hint.
Nice.
The great Peter Sellers.
Yeah, man.
George C. Freakin' Scott.
Yeah.
Sterling Hayden. Keenan Wynn. Slim Pickens. James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
What'd you think, man?
I love this film. It's so funny.
It's the weird Kubrick film.
It is. And I didn't, like, I kind of knew it was political satire going in, but wasn't, you know, even knowing that, you're not prepared for this movie. And I think the moment it really clicked in for me was when Slim Pickens and his crew get the order to attack Russia. And then he goes into the safe and he's like, real serious face. He's like, unlocking the safe. And he pulls out his cowboy hat and puts it on. I was just like, okay.
Oh, it's game time.
Yeah. I was like, okay, it's going to be that kind of movie. And I was howling at that moment. And just like so much of this movie, just laughing so hard.
So yeah, the main plot is an insane general triggers a path to nuclear holocaust that a war room full of politicians and generals frantically try to stop in the weirdest way possible.
Oh, yeah.
With the weirdest people possible.
Yeah.
The movie starts with two men, Mandrake, played by Peter Sellers, in one of three roles.
Yeah.
Three distinctly different roles.
Yeah.
Because he's Peter freaking Sellers.
Yeah.
And Sterling Hayden's character, Jack D. Ripper. Yes. Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper. Who decides he's going to start World War or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he thinks the Russians are going to take his precious bodily fluids.
That's right.
What a wacky, wacky plot this film has. Yeah.
I love that. And he talks about denying them his essence. It's like, what the fuck, dude?
Could you imagine reading this script?
Yeah.
Like, holy crap, what is this?
It's crazy.
So, yeah, they try to figure out the codes, because the Sterling Hayden character is the only person who has the code to call the planes back after they've been deployed.
Yeah.
And the Peter Sellers character, one of three, is Mandrake, decides he's going to try to figure this out because he's being held in a room with Jack the Ripper.
Oh, yeah.
And who's got a gun,
yeah,
talking about his fluids, yeah, being really weird.
Yeah.
And it gets back to the government that this has happened, and these people, they have George C. Scott's character is like the most racist, over-the-top general you can ever think of.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing one-liners. And you yeah, probably shouldn't be laughing at this stuff. It's oh, so yeah, bad and racist and
yeah,
whatever, but it's hilarious.
Oh, it is.
George C. Scott, known for like Patton and like big, boisterous roles, he's hilarious in this film.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Peter Sellers show. Peter Sellers plays the president.
Yeah.
And Dr. Strangelove.
He does.
They're in the same room.
Yeah.
Across the table from each other.
Yeah.
And the president role is very vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
But the Dr. Strangelove role
is one weird,
of the great, wacky, weird performances of yeah, all time.
Oh, yeah.
He is an ex-Nazi.
Yeah.
And he has a real hard time not being a Nazi anymore.
That's right.
It's hilarious. This film is funny.
Oh, yeah.
In weird little stupid ways.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you got the humor.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when I did In the Loop.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't sure if you were going to get the In the Loop oh, yeah, humor, but yeah, you got that too. So I'm yeah, really happy you got this one too.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hysterical, man. Like, and I'm trying to picture how, and it sounds like this was very well received when it was released.
Yeah, I think it was.
Which is crazy because it's like they were in the middle of the Cold War. They made this movie about Americans and Russians. And an attack on Russia, and like that's crazy to me. Like that'd be like somebody making a movie about Americans attacking Russians today.
Yeah.
Like people would be freaking out. They're like, no, don't go there. But yeah, they find this really sweet spot, and it's so hysterical and brilliant.
The ending of the film is quite possibly one of the greatest endings ever in the history of film.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a dude ride a nuclear bomb out of a plane yeah, with a cowboy hat?
Yeah.
Like he's riding a prize steer?
Yeah.
Going, woo!
Yeah. He couldn't be more proud.
Yeah. It's the happiest moment of his life. He's about yeah, to die.
Yeah.
But man, is he riding that bomb.
Yeah.
Such a great scene.
Oh, yeah.
And if that's not the kicker, you kick back to the government. And it's the Dr. Strangelove show.
Oh, yeah.
Where he just cannot control his fucking arm.
Yeah. he's calling the president Mein Führer. It's like, what are you doing, dude?
It's so good. He's grabbing his arm and hitting it with the other arm to try to make it stopping from making a Nazi salute.
Yeah.
It's the funniest thing. And finally, at the end, he gets up and goes, my fear, I can walk. He's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Cut to black. Yeah. Kubrick.
Oh, man. So good.
Such a great film.
Yeah.
It's so freaking timely.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
I just everybody in the White House maybe should watch this film.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Don't let some maniac cause World War III, pretty much.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, like, the way I took that Dr. Strangelove standing up at the end, he was just so excited about hiding underground with lots of hot women and repopulating the world. And it seemed like that excited him so much that he could walk again.
Yeah, and there's a 10-minute scene of Dr. Strangelove explaining how they're going to go underneath into a bunker after the bombs go off, and there has to be a 10-to-1 women to men ratio because they have to repopulate the population.
Yeah.
And they must have nice sexual characteristics yeah, to get the men excited.
Yeah.
It's so overboard, and they just keep on going and yeah, going. And it's like, oh, this is so great.
Yeah.
It's a genius film.
It is.
And it's a weird one in the Kubrick catalog because he's so, you know, before this, it was like The Killing about a bank robbery, like Pass of Glory,
mm-hmm,
like the World War II movie.
Yeah.
And then after this, it's like Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Barry Lyndon.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And this is the oddity.
Yeah.
But it's it's like a top three Kubrick film for me.
Oh, totally.
I freaking love Doctor Strange.
Nice. Yeah, it's amazing, dude.
Yeah.
And from, I watched a couple of the extras on the Blu-ray, and it looks like Sellers was given a lot of free rein to just create and improvise and just do his own thing during this movie. And I don't know, funny enough, I love Kubrick. He's one of my favorite filmmakers of all time. And, you know, 2001, I always talk about 2001 as like one of my top three all-time movies. And he doesn't strike me as the kind of filmmaker who would just let somebody kind of do what they want.
No, you have a feeling it's a pretty regimented set.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everything has to be, like, perfect.
Yeah, a certain way.
Yeah, but no, not Peter Sellers. He was a special guy.
Oh, yeah.
Died way too young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a special talent in this one, for sure. And, yeah, just there was, like, really weird humor going on with him and that general. He was talking about his fluids, and you could just tell he was trying to just go along with that character and try to get on his good side so he can get the code, and it's just so weird.
I love the first scene you see Dr. Strangelove. He's smoking a cigarette, and his gimpy hand is all fucked up.
Yeah.
And there's ash all over his jacket. Oh, yeah. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, little stuff like that.
Yeah, it's the details.
Yeah.
Yeah, the details are great in this film.
Yeah, man. And in one of the extras, it's said that that was James Earl Jones' first appearance in a film.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's really cool.
This is CNN.
That's right. This is CNN. Guy.
I heard he was in some other space film
too. Oh yeah,
he's in a voice. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also in Conan the Barbarian.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good reference.
So yeah, dude, this is a home run all day long. It's so good. So cool. Funny.
I'm glad you dug it, man.
Yeah. It's one that I'll definitely be watching a lot more of, because there's so much of this movie that I think there were moments where I was laughing so hard that I missed, you know, a couple lines that followed. And I did have to rewind it a couple times because nice. I was like laughing so hard and almost blacking out. You know, it was so good.
Yeah, I have the regular edition Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. There's a sexy new Criterion out that I really want.
Yeah.
It's a little too expensive for me right now. But that's right. I want to get that disc.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of cool extras.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, super cool.
Yeah, man.
I'm digging this.
Right on.
Movie Club, baby. Movie Club.
Yeah.
I have no idea if you've seen this movie. This is,
okay.
This is maybe one of the ones where I'm like, okay, he's probably seen this.
Okay.
But fuck, I thought that about Strangelove. I was going through Netflix a couple days ago, and under the new releases, this movie showed up, and I'm like, holy crap, that's a really damn good film. It's from 2007.
Okay.
So I don't know if you were too into foreign film then.
Mm-hmm.
Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
Excellent. Okay. All right.
Oh, cool.
From 2007, Jillian Schnabel film. Yeah, you see nothing like this.
Oh, really?
It's about a guy who has a stroke and has something called locked-in syndrome.
Okay.
Where all he can do is blink his eyes.
Oh, wow.
And he ends up writing a book.
Okay.
By blinking his eyes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's really cool. You see nothing like it.
Yeah.
I really hope you enjoy it.
Wicked.
I think it's a masterpiece.
Sweet.
And I was shocked it was on Netflix.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I watched a little bit of it today, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is nice. The one. So I hope you enjoy it.
Right on.
Don't know if it's on Netflix America.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Canada, though.
Okay.
Cool.
Right on, dude. So, yeah, you have until either April 9th or 10th, because I'll be coming back from the U.S. on the 9th. So may have to record on the 10th
that week.
So, yeah, if you want to join Movie Club, we always encourage you. The recent change we've made to Movie Club is, if you're a little bit behind, if you want to chime in on a previous movie we've reviewed through Movie Club, you can send us your thoughts. We'd love to hear them, whether it's, you know, Doctor Strangelove or I'm blanking out here, Iron Giant.
Everybody's seen Doctor Strangelove.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, any previous entry we've had in Movie Club. If you want to talk about it, send us your thoughts and we'll read them on the show.
Let's talk about the comedic genius of a Serbian film.
Yeah, that's right. Let's talk about that.
The comedic genius.
That movie is hilarious.
It is.
I didn't get it until like there was 15 minutes left in the movie. It's so funny. Yeah, for me, it was the moment where the guy goes, "We don't have time for that. Let's go."
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this is funny.
It's a very naughty film.
It is. Oh, man. Okay, so yeah, that's Movie Club. We'd love to hear from you, and that's half the fun there.
Lightning round, baby.
Lightning round. Okay, so let's move to the next part of the show. It's called the lightning round. This is where we just offer brief thoughts on other movies we've watched. I'll go first since
there's a movie I know here that broke your heart.
It did.
It made you less of a human being. That
it really did. It broke my spirit.
Yeah.
Of course, we're talking about Goon, Last of the Enforcers. This is a directorial debut by Jay Baruchel, and he co-wrote the film. First Goon, I love that film. I can't remember if it made my top 10, but it was definitely at least in my top 20.
You're one of the people I know that really pimps that film.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. And it's the first Goon. It's got this really, like, Sean William Scott. He's never struck me as a great actor, but he's a great actor in Goon. And that glimpse of that talent he showed, I was just like, wow, like, this guy's got the goods. He can really carry a film emotionally. That's not the case in Goon, Last of the Enforcers. I think that's a combination of things. The original director is Michael Dowse. He's gone.
Who's kind of a Canadian film genius.
He is.
Makes a lot of really good films that you guys might not know about. So check him out on IMDb. He's made some really good films.
Yeah. He made FUBAR 1 and 2 and Goon. And
It's All Gone, Pete Tong.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's a good film.
Yeah. And he also, the F word, and he's got some good stuff under his belt. But yeah, this one is just, it's as if it was made by somebody who is a fan of the first film and has no fucking idea what worked in the first film and just kind of bastardized the Goon franchise with this one. Like, this movie is an actual piece of shit. And, I'll be shocked if I see worse movies than this all year long.
Yeah, it's the worst film I've seen this year.
Yeah, same here.
I think it might be my first zero-star film of the year.
Yeah.
I hated this film.
Yeah, me too.
Every damn frame of it. Yeah. You ever go into a film and like 30 seconds in, you're like, oh, dude, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
This movie sucks.
Yeah.
That's Goon, too.
Yeah, yeah. And the violence in this one, they ramp it up for some reason, like, there's gallons of blood that spill right from the get-go. Like, the first fight scene, he takes a headbutt and, like, two buckets of blood spill across the ice and on the glass and on his jersey. And their jerseys are red at the end of each fight. And I'm just like,
it's not how hockey fights actually work.
No, I've never seen a hockey fight like that before.
I don't usually see blood in hockey fights, tell you the truth. And plus, everything I liked about the first one, a certain character, they treated him like he was nothing in this film. And it really pissed me off.
Oh, yeah.
It was mean.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, fuck you to everybody who made this film. I don't like Jay Baruchel anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's an annoying actor.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for that, I'm sure.
Ah, it's all good, man.
People are going to bitch at me, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
This movie really blows.
Yeah.
Yeah. The most disappointing film of the year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You hurt Adrian.
Yeah. I was devastated after the movie. I was just like, oh.
He was so low.
I know. And like, yeah, it's just very mean-spirited. It's gross. There's this thing where they have this hockey fight club on ice for retired goons, and
it's like they've never heard anything about post-concussion syndrome.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's irresponsible. this movie,
it's super irresponsible.
Just bad. And I wanted to enjoy it. Like, I went in, I was like, all right, I love the first one. The cast is back.
I was waiting for Bennett and Lamu to show up and go, tell them the truth. Yeah. Tell them the truth.
Oh, exactly. No, that didn't happen.
No,
and
no,
Alicia Cuthbert shows up and
Doug with that big dick.
Yeah, that's all she says.
Keep saying that shitty line.
Yeah.
Keep saying it.
It's supposed to be funny.
It's not.
And she showed us why she's no longer in movies. Bad movie.
Really
broke
bad.
My spirit.
Zero.
0 out of 5. I also watched something on Shudder. Are you familiar with Shudder?
I am. It's that online horror Netflix.
Yeah, that's right.
Please tell me it was Prevenge.
No, it wasn't Prevenge.
Oh, dude.
I'll watch that maybe this week sometime. I watched Microwave Massacre.
Oh, shit.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't, but you were texting me when you were watching it. It sounded pretty good.
It is, like, really weird. It's about a guy who... His wife gets a microwave and she's cooking fancy dishes in the microwave, and he's pissed off because all he wants is like a ham and bologna sandwich and or cheese and ham sandwich, and he bitches about it so much that he murders her and chops her up in pieces, cooks her in the microwave and eats her, and then he just starts killing people. How do you get from point A to B?
Holy crap. I know. So many questions.
Yeah.
Okay, so first question, was this like a, did it look like a VHS? I can't see, this couldn't have had like an actual film release.
It did. The transfer was actually really good.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they actually must have put a lot of restoration in this one.
Wow. Somebody in like somewhere must have loved that movie as a kid and had to remaster it.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought for sure it would be like a 4x3 like pan and scan VHS transfer.
No, it was like a legit transfer.
Wow.
And, the guy who plays the killer, he's actually the guy who voiced Frosty the Snowman, you know, those old, like, 1960s.
Wow.
So he's the guy, and it was freaking out Sarah the whole time, because she knew it was him. I didn't know, and at the end, she was like, that was Frosty the Snowman. He's killing
people.
Look at
that Frosty go.
Yeah, that's the one.
He's chopping his wife up.
Yeah. So he invites, like, prostitutes back to his place, and it's like, it's very... exploitation. It's wacky, dude.
Okay, here's my second question.
Yeah.
When you were going through Shudder, what... The title?
Yeah, it was the title.
Okay.
I clicked it.
I'm pretty sure the description wasn't terribly good.
Yeah, it was awful. It was just like, a man fed up with his wife's cooking decides to murder his wife and cook her in the microwave. And I was like, okay, I'm going to watch like 5 minutes of this movie and see what happens.
A man fed up with his wife.
Yeah.
Cooks her in the microwave.
Yeah.
From the director of...
whatever. Yeah, it's one of those, you know, it is very poorly made and shitty writing, but it finds this really weird rhythm to it that I just couldn't take my eyes off the screen. I was very entertained. So that was Microwave Massacre.
What year was it from?
I want to say early 80s, maybe.
Wow, okay.
And it opens with a woman walking down the street, the shots all on her boobs. And then she goes to this wooden fence that has a cutout at chest level. She takes off her shirt and puts her boobs through the fence for the like construction workers.
Wow.
And then one of them tries to grab her and she pulls away at the last second.
Exploitation.
Yeah. And it has nothing to do with the movie
of course not at all.
It's just, here's some titties.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like how we talked more about that film than we did about Power Rangers.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's so fun.
It must have left an impression on you.
It did. Sarah and I watched it. We were laughing the whole time. It's really funny. I think it's made by a guy who obviously had problems at home and just wanted to make a weird movie about it.
Chopping his wife up. All right.
That's right.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's my lightning round.
Nice. I saw a few things, but mostly... I finished Horizon Zero Dawn about 4 days ago.
Oh, nice.
And I didn't watch anything before that.
Yeah.
Sorry. So I saw some stuff this weekend and some Netflix. Chips.
Yeah.
Dax Shepard and Michael Peña in a pretty mediocre film that has really cool car stunts.
Okay.
Just like Dax's last movie, Hit and Run.
Yeah.
Which had some really cool car shit in it.
Yeah.
Not the best movie, but the car stuff was really cool. Same with this film.
Okay.
Michael Pena is pretty funny in the film. And Dax has some decent jokes. It's not a very good movie, but it's not really terrible either.
Okay.
You know, smoke a joint, watch it on Netflix.
Yeah.
You might like it.
Yeah.
It's not terrible. It's not great either.
Yeah.
For the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was tempted to see it. I had such a busy weekend and... Oh, well.
Yeah.
Didn't miss much.
There's a guy named Paunch.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. How the mighty have fallen. Marvel, why'd you fuck up Iron Fist?
Oh, I heard about this.
It's so terrible.
Oh, really?
I watched 3 episodes.
Okay.
And turned it off.
Really?
Had to stop.
Oh, no way.
Had to stop.
Wow.
So, yeah. Don't watch Iron Fist.
I heard the first episode is just him trying to get into a building.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't watch that.
Okay.
And I watched, this is my last stuff, the 2 Dave Chappelle specials on Netflix, which I thought were pretty good.
Yeah.
A little controversial.
Oh, yeah.
The first one's really light and funny.
Mm-hmm.
Second one gets pretty dark.
It does.
For Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
And a little bit controversial, but I thought he explained everything quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just... you know, more open-minded to most people, but I thought the quote-unquote controversy was kind of, I don't know, people need to lighten up a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and I watched those too. I forgot I watched those until you mentioned it. Yeah, I laughed a lot throughout the whole thing, and there were moments where I was like, should I be laughing? I was like, well, I'm laughing, so yes. The answer is yes. And, you know, comedians are always pushing the envelope and dancing across the line of what's acceptable. And yeah, there's some stuff in both of those specials where, yeah, he goes into some taboo territory. But I think he does enough interesting things and funny things that I didn't have any major issues with the things he said.
It's weird. If somebody on the street said it, I might be offended.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, comedians are there to push boundaries, like Lenny Bruce or whoever.
Mm-hmm. Amy Schumer's. That's like her whole thing.
Yeah, or Sam Kinison or, you know, modern day guys like Anthony Jeselnik or somebody like that.
Yeah.
You know, push the envelope. Yeah. And when I watch a comedy special, I probably don't get offended as easy.
Mm-hmm.
But he sets everything up.
Oh, yeah.
He's really smart.
Yeah.
He's a good comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Trust it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. I think there's just a brief note. What's that? Bill Burr has a... Have you watched all this stuff? He had one.
No, the only one I watched lately, I watched the new Joe Rogan one,
which
was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I watched the Amy Schumer one, which I didn't think was very funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fine. I watched a little bit of that one. But Bill Burr has one, and he's always been kind of a mean person. And was like, you get the sense that he really is just an asshole. And I think the difference between Chappelle and Bill Burr is when Bill Burr is being mean, like, yeah, he's got a bit of an edge to him and doesn't work for me all the time. And I'll just kind of skip past those jokes or just won't laugh. But Chappelle, I don't think there's anything mean-spirited behind what he's saying. He's just having fun and seeing the world from a different angle kind of thing. And, you know, I think there's a lot of differences in their styles, and Bill Burr doesn't catch any flack for it, I think probably because he's a white guy.
Yeah. And Anthony Jeselnik is 50 times worse than all those people put together.
Yeah.
He's vicious.
Oh, yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
But yeah, Chappelle, Netflix, you all have it.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Check it out.
Tweet us.
Let us know what you think.
Tell us what you think.
Tell if we're bad. Tell us if we're bad people.
Or don't.
Or don't.
But yeah, that's it, man.
Cool. Cool. Well, I guess that's it for Lightning Round. What do we have coming up in the next show?
So on March 31st, we finally get Trainspotting 2. It was supposed to open this week, and we were probably going to review it this episode. But hey, Beauty and the Beast has a lot of theaters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that didn't open. So next show, Trainspotting 2. Sorry, T2.
No, it's not T2.
Dun-dun-dun.
Fuck that.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. No, Trainspotting 2. The Boss Baby.
Ooh.
It's an animated film with Kevin Spacey playing an executive who gets shrunk to a baby, I think, and wants to do something. I saw the trailer and I was just like, no.
This is
Adrian territory.
No way. No way. If it's not Ghibli, I'm not interested.
Ghost of Michelle.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Looks really good.
Yeah, it looks good.
I hope it's good.
Yeah, me too.
Man, I hope it's good.
I'm excited for this one.
Yeah. The trailers look really cool.
Yeah.
And I hope for good things. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, because I like to support good sci-fi.
Yeah.
And the anime is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
This is weird. A 4K remaster of Donnie Darko.
Oh, that's
it's
right.
It's going limited on the 31st.
That's weird.
But awesome.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind seeing that, actually.
Is it the director's cut or
I don't know. I'm betting it's the regular cut.
Okay.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I hope let's be honest. We won't see it.
Yeah.
We won't open here. Yeah. April 7th. Jesus Christ. Smurfs. The Lost Village.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of the Smurfs movies?
I haven't.
I saw the first one. Not for me.
Yeah.
Haven't seen the other ones.
You're older than 5 years old is why it's not for you.
Yeah. I won't be seeing this one. So that will not be reviewed next episode. Sorry.
Definitely not.
Adrian's seen this one. Colossal.
Oh, yeah.
Nacho Vigalondo.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
The Wild Man himself.
That's right.
Closing film of Fantastic Fest last year.
That's right, yeah. It's a good movie. A lot of people are freaking out a little bit. I'm not quite in their camp, but it's fine. I think it's a good movie.
It's Neon's first film they're releasing. Tim League and some other guys.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's cool.
Oh, cool.
Always support Tim League.
Yeah, man.
I can't. Don't know if it's opening around here. I do want to see it. Hopefully it goes VOD.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. A movie I have seen called Graduation, the new Christian Meng Yui film.
Okay.
Saw it at VIFF last year. It's really good.
Cool.
About this man who finds out that his daughter didn't take a test that will really screw up her university admittance. So he's going to try to fix it.
Oh, wow.
By any means necessary.
Oh, wow.
And it's just one big giant screw up. It's rather funny. It's pretty long, but it's a Romanian film.
I was just going to say, is this a foreign language film?
Yeah, it's very long.
Yeah.
But it's really good. I really enjoyed it.
Nice.
So if you have a chance to see that one, you might like it.
Cool.
If not, sorry.
Yeah.
Both of us have seen this one. The Void finally opens.
Ooh.
Hot garbage.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's really bad. This might be like my second or third worst film of the year.
Really?
Yeah. I hated this film.
Yeah, there's just no characters to latch onto.
And it's weird for no reason.
Yeah.
It's kind of makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
The creatures aren't terribly good.
Yeah.
From half of Astron 6.
That's right.
Who we both kind of worship. So,
oh, totally.
I think they're really awesome. So kind of a disappointment.
Yeah.
And last but not least, I think we should maybe review this next episode because it's like the biggest film in the world right now. Your Name.
Okay.
Talked about it last episode.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it next episode maybe.
Cool.
Japanese animation film. It's made so much money. It's like scary.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's finally opening in North America. I've seen it already.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to say.
Cool. Right on.
Hopefully Adrian sees it next time and we can talk about it.
Right on.
That's it.
Cool. Awesome, man. Thanks for that. Guess we can start to wrap up the show here. People can find you online on Twitter, right?
I am on Twitter at SoundJam69. Say hi.
Yeah, the show has a Twitter account. We're at @TheGreen_Screen. I'm also on Twitter. I'm at @Adrian_Charlie. We also have a Facebook page. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Hit like, and you'll be lucky number 33 person to like The Green Screen of Death on Facebook. We also have a website we just launched a few months ago. It's called thegreenscreenofdeath.com. Check it out. There's a few other little bonuses in there if you're into hearing why I think you should put your damn phone down when you watch a movie.
I'm done that fucking game now. I should write something. Seriously.
Yeah, dude.
It's getting really bad.
Yeah, get on it, man.
That game ruined my life.
Oh, totally.
For 3 weeks.
Exactly.
That was brutal.
Yeah, Zelda did the same thing for me. And you can also find us, of course, on other podcast platforms such as iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. We'd appreciate it if you threw us a review and a rating. That'll help us find a wider audience. That's pretty cool. That's one way you can give back to us. So I guess that's about it, man. Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's get the hell out of here.
Let's get drunk.
Let's get drunk on a Sunday night.
Yeah. And I'm sober until Fantastic Fest.
That's right. Me too. Cool. All right. Well, thanks again. Anybody who's checking us out, we appreciate it. And we'll talk with you next time.
Peace.